It's 10 o'clock and time now for the second part of World Roots Visit to Athens.
Greek music has always been inseparable from Greek politics, and so it's no wonder that this morning I've got caught up in a demonstration near the Greek Parliament as I make my way to the Athens Meat Market to record more rembetiko, the Greek blues as it's known. And music in a meat market? All will soon be revealed.
The demonstration has passed peacefully and the World Roots team were able to get here, the Athens Meat Market. We haven't come here for the impressive display of dead animals, it's certainly not a place for vegetarians, but you've guessed, for music. Last week my guide was Kostas Fotiadis and he's with me again. Hi Kostas.
Hi Moshe.
We are in the meat market, it's Friday, noon, busy shopping time. Where are you taking me exactly?
Well, there's a very small place up on the first floor of one of these old buildings here. It's called Stoa Athanaton.
I'll translate because it's a very interesting name. The Arcade of the Immortals.
Yes, that's exactly what it means. This place is wonderful. It's been around since 1930.
The golden era of rebetiko.
Exactly, exactly. It's actually kept and retained everything from decorations to the way the musicians are set up on stage, the food, the atmosphere. Everything is wonderful up there. And they're doing the old rebetiko songs exactly the way they're supposed to be.
I heard this is the place to come to in Athens if you want to hear the old-style rembetiko, the Greek blues, heavy, the original style. Thank you for bringing me here.
Yeah, no problem, Moshe. Everything in Athens has changed so much, except this place. This place has remained exactly the same since the 30s. You're in the center of Athens, downtown. You see all these new buildings, modern stuff. You see fast food, chain restaurants, whatever. And all of a sudden, you're in a magic world of an old place where everything is the same.
So let's step into 1930s Athens. What is he talking about? What is he doing there?
Oh, they're just arguing over sports teams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're very proud of their sports here. It's very, they take it very seriously.
The rival sports teams. Yeah. One of them won, one of them lost, and now they're teasing each other.
So here we are, going into the Arcade of the Immortals. It's an actual arcade. The walls are covered with black and white pictures. Old Rebetis.
It's written here as well.
Yeah.
Papa Ioannou with the accordion.
From 1937.
Yeah.
So as we can see, the accordion is a typical instrument of Rebetiko. This is a picture of young Sotiria Bellou, very famous Greek singer.
Above it, there's a very interesting portrait of musicians from Asia Minor and the very old instruments.
In fact, the old Rebetis here in Greece, they kept being nostalgic about when they were in Asia Minor and the old cafes, and they're tried in a way to recreate them in the market here.
Rebetiko music is the Greek blues. Like the blues, it's come out of people in pain and suffering, namely the Greek people being torn out of Asia Minor and brought into Greece by force. Of course, the same for Turkish people, torn out from Greece and the islands back to Turkey by force.
The transfer of population, which was very tragic. Rebetiko is a musical expression of this trauma. And here we are, 2012. It looks like, and will probably sound like, 1930s.
Γεωργίτσα μου, κόσμος να μη, κόσμος να μη το ξεβρει. Τώρα το μάθαν οι δικοί Γεωργίτσα μου, το μάθανε κι οι ξένοι. Γιούλα, 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 έλα πάρε με. Άνοιξε τις δυο σου αγκάλες, μέσα πάρε με. Για σε μισθή πόρτα σου Γεωργίτσα μου, αν αφήσε και αν πείσε και θα δέσει. Τα γενικό σου το κορμί Γεωργίτσα μου, στα χέρια μου, στα χέρια μου θα πέσει. Έλα γιούλα, 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 έλα πάρε με. Άνοιξε τις δυο σου αγκάλες, μέσα πάρε με. Έλα γιούλα, 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 έλα πάρε με. Άνοιξε τις δυο σου αγκάλες, μέσα πάρε με. Πώς θα περάσει η βραδιά,
was τα ήσυχά σου. Που σκέφτομαι εσένα, ναι, μη φύγεις και σε χάσω. Που σκέφτομαι εσένα, ναι, μη φύγεις και σε χάσω. Και γνώρισα, μα εσένα σε φοβάμαι. Να μη σε ξεμυαλίσουνε, γι' αυτό και δεν κοιμάμαι. Να μη σε ξεμυαλίσουνε, γι' αυτό και δεν κοιμάμαι. Μου αυτή με λιώνει και με δέρνει. Να ξημερώσει ήθελα, για ύπνος δε με παίρνει. Να ξημερώσει ήθελα, για ύπνος δε με παίρνει. Γιαλένιε μου, στα βρέμαλα ματένιε μου. Γιαλένιος είσαι, μας τραπάς, κι όποιον εδείς τον αγαπάς.
Κρατάς μεγάλη πόσα, τα ωραία σου τα μάτια κάνουν τις καρδιές κομμάτια. Αμάν αραπίνα,
αμάν αμάν γυάλα,
έλα στην Αθήνα,
αμάν μην τα γυάλα.
Σε κανοτέρι, αμάν σύφτε θέλει η καρδιά μου.
Να σε κάνω τέρι, άμα τσίφτε τέλει η καρδιά.
Here we are in the quiet neighborhood, Agios Dimitrios, in Athens. Costa, where are we going now?
Moshe, I'm taking you to the accordion legend of Greece, Lazaro Koulaxizis.
Oh, he's a fantastic accordionist. He's probably the best one in Greece, huh?
He's definitely the best one in Greece. Probably one of the best ones in Europe.
How old is he? About 75 now?
Yeah, almost 80, I think. Wow.
And here we're approaching the house of Lazaros. Lazaros! How are you?
Fine, and you?
Thank you very much. Thanks for waiting for us here. Let's go up. We want to hear you with the accordion.
Anytime.
Thank you. Lazaros Koulaxidis, Yassas.
Yes.
I think your origins are from Asia Minor, right? Like the origins of Rebetiko.
Yes.
And how many years have you been playing the accordion?
From 5-6 years old, and I learned by myself.
Usually when people think about Greek music, they think about the bouzouki and the baglama. And how come the accordion? How did the accordion come into Greek music? And you, how did you start playing accordion more than 70 years ago?
Το ακορντεόν, βέβαια, υπήρχε πριν βγω εγώ στη δουλειά, έτσι. Υπήρχε το ακορντεόν. Αλλά αυτός που μάθανα εγώ στη διαδρομή χαθήκανε.
Okay, Lazarus is saying the accordion used to exist in old recordings of the 50s. And since 1961 to 1980, it disappeared because the synthesizer came along. And all the accordion players started playing the synthesizer because it was easier for them for live performances. But Lazaros kept going with the accordion. He held on to it when he was in America and he brought it back with him to Greece.
Δεν έπαιζε κανείς ακορντεόν. Και μόλις βγήκα στην τηλεόραση με τα ακορντεόν και το είδανε, πού ήταν αυτό το όργανο, ξαναρχίσαν από την αρχή.
When he came back from the United States, the accordion had been almost forgotten. So when he first went on TV and played the accordion, everybody was like, wow, this instrument still exists. And he plays well, and that's how it came back into fashion for Greek music.
How did you start playing the accordion?
Είχαμε ακορντεόν στο σπίτι.
I had an accordion at the house.
Και το πήρα. Και μόνος μου κρυφά έπαιζα, γιατί ο πατέρας μου δεν ήθελε να γίνω μουσικός, ας πούμε.
His father didn't want him to become a musician, so he would just take the accordion and sneak behind somewhere and practice on his own without his father knowing.
So you never actually studied music? It all comes from the heart?
Ναι, ναι.
Yes, he's a self-taught musician.
And how did you teach yourself?
Τι έκανα. Έπαιρνα διάφορα τραγούδια και είχα ένα γραμμόφωνο και έβαζα και τα άκουγα και τα μάθαινα.
He had the old records and a device called the gramophone,
which is
gramophono, exactly. And he played the songs and learned by ear and then practiced on these songs.
The first song you played to us, Karsilamas, is a traditional Greek music coming from Asia Minor.
My father.
That you learned from your father.
Yeah.
What will you hear now, Lazaros? The next song.
Now I play one, my music.
Yes. Your composition, your own composition. Yes. And yes. As you said, you never learned music yourself. So it all comes straight from your heart into the accordion. So beautiful. Thank you. Sorry, what was the name of this composition?
8-8.
8-8. So you always go by the rhythm, huh?
8-8.
You have a very special technique, Lazaros. Yeah. You know, we heard you before playing like two different melodies and two different sets of keys. Can you demonstrate it? Show us how you do that. So what in fact you do is you play the melodies on the both sets, on the buttons and the keys. Can you demonstrate? That's on the buttons part. Beautiful and quite unusual to hear it on an accordion, playing both melodies in both hands. Lazaros, do you teach young musicians? I mean, are there any young accordionists now that can sort of continue?
Your wife is
nodding with her head. She said no, unfortunately.
Only I teach two. And I can't have time to teach because I work many years and all day, all night. Now I want to relax.
Well, I hope that you're going to both relax and play many, many years, day and night, because your music is wonderful and it adds so much to Greek music these days.
Now I play for myself.
And today you played for yourself and for the World Roots audience. Thank you very much. Ευχαριστώ πολύ.
You're welcome.
Last week on the program, I met researcher, record producer, Greek music expert, Stelios Eliniadis, and I have the great pleasure of being with him again this week. Hi, Stelios.
Hi.
We just had the wonderful Lazaros Koulaxizis.
He's an orchestra by himself. He doesn't need anybody else, but he plays very well with a very big band. I think that Lazaros is carrying in himself this big Greek popular tradition.
Stelios, last week you gave us a wonderful introduction to rebetiko and the history of rebetiko. Earlier on today, we were in the meat market here in central Athens, Stoa Athanaton. It's interesting the music that you said that started in the markets, in the slaughterhouses, is just right there in the meat market now.
It fits there, but the audience now is different. Because in these places like Stoaton, Athanaton, or other rebetika places, now the people who go there, they are very well educated, you know, they are intellectuals, they are young people, students from the universities, all kinds of people, but very different from the people that worked in the meat markets in the past, you know, and when they play the music by themselves.
Stelios, would you say that the popularity of rebetiko now is also somehow connected to the situation in Greece now, the financial situation, political one?
Now there is a problem in Greek popular music because society is undergoing a very strong shock from what happened. I believe that this crisis is very technical and it's dissolving the society. It's one of the worst things that ever happened to Greece. It happened very suddenly and it is not yet properly expressed through music. Not yet. You know, so people prefer what they are sure about that they like Rebetika. You can go to a demonstration, a political demonstration, and there you can listen to either rock music or to Laika music.
What about the next generation of Rebetiko? I mean, is there any future for it?
For the time being, we have won, you know, because young people play Rebetika music mostly. The school system is mainly public in Greece. So the state introduced experimentally another kind of public school, which is called music school. That is a normal school plus music. The pupils learn to play instruments and they learn about the history of music. The main idea at the beginning from the state, from the Ministry of Education, was that pupils are going to be introduced to the European music. The pupils themselves, they chose the kind of music that they wanted to learn to play. And that was Smyrnaiko, Greek traditional, and Rebetika. The first school was so successful that in a few years, they created another 35 schools all over Greece. And in these schools, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of young people, very young, up to 17 years old, who learn to play the Greek instruments like bouzouki, baglama. The young people by themselves, they created a very strong movement that is very powerful now. A whole generation now is more involved than we were in Rebetika music because they are not only listeners, they are players.
This morning I've come to the Ilion Music School in a northern suburb of Athens, a school dedicated to the preservation of traditional Greek music. An orchestra of 13 to 17 year old students is getting ready to perform to us a composition by the legendary Greek composer Mikis Theodorakis. Theodorakis, together with Hadjidakis, was responsible for the revival of laiko music, the traditional folk urban music of Greece. The orchestra is composed of Western strings together with the traditional Greek instruments such as kanun and bouzoukis. The children are joined by Lakis Chalkias, great singer belonging to the family of Chalkis, the biggest musical family in Greece. And as you can hear, the children are tuning up. We're waiting for the music to start.
Thank you.
It's amazing that we run into this guy, Moshe.
What is it? It's like an old music box.
This is called the Laterna.
Laterna.
What it basically does, it's like a big music box. It's the same mechanism. Mm-hmm. Only it's very traditional. People used to move these things around and play them by spinning this little lever there, and you basically pay him money to do that.
Well, we have to describe it. I mean, it looks obviously very old. There's this picture, a very old picture of that of a woman.
Yeah, it's a very big box on wheels.
Yeah,
that plays this music. And it's really fantastic because there's very few of them around anymore. Maybe one or two in the whole of Athens.
And you're a young rock musician, and you get so excited over that. I mean, yes, there must be something very nostalgic about it.
I'll explain why. Because yes. There's a very famous black and white Greek film. Yeah. Its theme is about the Laterna, about a poor guy who does this. And works like for money doing exactly this, and it's really, really good to see it in 2012 in the streets of Athens.
Oh, it's really great. So let's listen a little bit to the Laterna, and obviously give him a few euros there.
Yes, give him a few euros.
So Kostas, you took me to the flea market. Now we're on a little treasure hunt of music here in the flea market.
All the old vinyl, and forgotten stuff. Here you
Get
have
me some good music.
This record is called Synerga, mm-hmm. By the late Niko Papazoglou, mm-hmm. Very, very important singer and composer.
Yeah.
Oh, this album.
Odromos.
Odromos, yes. Mimi Plesa. Mimis Plesas is a fantastic pianist and one of our greatest composers. He's done everything from Laika music to jazz compositions.
Okay, let's go inside the shop. I mean, it's a tiny little shop there. It's like a heaven for Greek music lovers.
Okay, this one is his master's voice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
HMV.
Definitely.
This is really
classic,
interesting.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a compilation of old. This is a very rare album.
Can you ask him to choose one album from everything that's here and sort of play it for us?
Of course. Θα μας διαλέξει ένα δίσκο.
Αυτό είναι πολύ καλό με original τραγουδιστές.
Okay, he chose a classic. Mm-hmm. He said the originals are dating back to the 20s or 30s. He's saying when they transferred the music, they left all the noises and scratches that you can hear. And that's why you can hear them on recent.
And of course, we have the
releases.
Extra noises of the vinyl itself being
yes,
from the 50s and 60s.
Of course.
The legendary Rosa Ashkenazi, the rebetiko singer.
Yes.
That's the voice of the legendary rebetiko singer Rosa Ashkenazi on a scratchy LP we found in a small record store in the flea market in downtown Athens. And now, to end up the program, we're entering this beautiful theater. Who are we going to hear here, Kostas?
You spoke about Rosa, the legendary singer. We're going to see another legendary singer, only this one is alive. Her name is Mario. She's one of our best, if not the best, rebetiko singers still around.
I mean, she's been performing for more than 50 years now, rebetiko.
58 from what I know. Almost 60 years.
So I'm sure she has a lot of stories to tell and beautiful music to play. Here we are. Mario recorded especially for World Roots here in Athens.
Τα παίρναν τακτικά, μα τους τα έχω πάρει πίσω από μια καλή ζαριά. Μα τους τα έχω πάρει πίσω από μια καλή ζαριά. Μάγκες μου βάλετε προς πίσω πάτε, να σας τα πάρω για να ρεφάρω. δεν είχα να γουστάρω. Απ' το Μίτσιο δυο πένιες και δεν είχα για να ακούσω. Στα μπουζούκια δυο πένιες. Μάγκες μου βάλετε προς πίσω πάτε να σας τα πάρω για να ρεφάρω. Άντε μπράβο, άντε μπράβο, παιδί καλό. Ένα τσατσούλι, Νικόλα. Καλέ, έχω μια μεγάλη ρέντα κι όλοι μάγκες απορούν και στη τζόχα καραγιώσει ψάχνουν να δικά να βρουν. Και στη τζόχα καραγιώσει ψάχνουν να δικά να βρουν. Μάγκες μου βάλετε προς πίσω πάτε να σας τα πάρω για να ρεφάρω. Μάγκες μου βάλετε προς πίσω πάτε να σας τα πάρω για να ρεφάρω. Ευχαριστούμε πολύ. Ξέρα μια μέρα πως θα έρθεις και τις τρέλες σου θα βαρεθείς. Μη μου ξαναφύγεις πια, μάγκα μου, μείνε μες στην αγκαλιά. δίχως μάνα, δίχως συγγενείς.
Μαριό, καλησπέρα.
Καλησπέρα, αγόρι μου, και τι ωραίος άντρας είσαι. Έλα.
Thank you for inviting us here to hear you. You've been singing rebetiko for more than 50 years, is that
Πολλά
correct?
Χρόνια. 51 χρόνια.
51
με φέτος.
Years.
51 χρόνια.
Counting this year.
And you are from Thessalonica originally, and you moved
Thessaloniki
to... When did you move to Athens?
Και η Μαθήνα. Και η Μαθία. Αλλά τώρα...
Her mom was one of the people who came from Asia Minor to a village in an area called Dimathia. She came.
Και μετά το 99 είμαι μόνιμα πια.
First time was in 1996, and she's been here permanently since 1999.
In Athens. Tell me about your family. You said that your family came from Asia Minor during the population transfer.
Μάμου από τα Φάρασα, Καπαδοκία, το 23.
Her mother came from Farasa in Cappadocia mm-hmm. in 1923.
It's Turkey now.
Η μαμά μου ήταν τρία αδέλφια, όπου το τρίτο αδελφάκι το μικρό γεννήθηκε μέσα στο
Παΐκι. There were three siblings, and the youngest one was actually born on the boat, bringing them from Asia to Greece.
Τη μικρή μου θεία, η οποία πέθανε μετά, η μαμά της μαμά πέθανε.
Her grandmother died on that very boat.
Her youngest niece was born on the boat. And her grandmother died on the boat.
Η γιαγιά μου, ναι.
It's very sad. How was it
και
to
την πετάξαν στη θάλασσα. Τη γιαγιά μου δεν τη φέρνε στην Ελλάδα, γιατί πέθανε μες στο καΐκι. Α, είναι επιπληκτό αυτό.
Her grandmother was thrown overboard because she died on the boat. Her corpse never made it to Greece. And her mother sang a lament that we call Lamané because of that.
Είναι μέσα στη ζωή το ρεμπέτικο, ό,τι τραγουδήθηκε τόσα χρόνια.
Rebetiko is a part of life, and all the songs that have been made and all the lyrics represent the way that people used to live and the conditions under which they were living.
Όταν πρώτο άκουσα τη Ρόζα την Εσκενάζη, ήμουν 13 χρονών.
She first heard the voice and music of Rosa Ashkenazi at age 13, and ever since she never wanted to play European music anymore, and she started listening only to rebetiko and playing that music.
Tell me about the women in rebetiko, the status of women in rebetiko.
Ήταν τότε πολύ τολμηρό.
It was a daring move to go up on stage and sing this music if you were a woman. And as she says, you had to be a man-woman.
Με λίγα λόγια, η τραγουδίστρια ήταν η πόρνη της εποχής.
In a few words, a female singer used to be considered a prostitute.
Did you suffer yourself from this discrimination then in the rebetiko world?
Και πες προσωπική μου εμπειρία, πες το. Προσωπική μου εμπειρία. Προσωπικός μου ιστορία. Ναι. Επειδή τραγουδούσα, ο άνθρωπος που αγαπούσα δεν μου το δίνανε γιατί ήμουν τραγουδίστρια και έπαιζα ακορντεόν. Έτσι πες το. Η πρώτη μου αγάπη μεγάλη.
The first person she fell in love with, who she still remembers, she couldn't get married to just because she used to be a musician and a singer. His family wouldn't accept that he would get married to
Πολύ
her.
Άσχημο πράγμα. Πολύ άσχημο.
And when did this change? When did they started accepting you?
Κοίταξε, άρχισε ο κόσμος πια να μπαίνει μέσα στα πράγματα όταν αρχίσανε...
At some point, rebetiko took a turn towards a younger crowd who were more educated, started having a good time with this music. That's about when women started to be accepted.
Rebetiko that was associated with criminals and low lives and everything became really cool in the 80s.
Αν δεν ήταν, έλεγανε πίδα. Αν ξέραν ότι αυτός που δεν καπνίζει στην παρέα και ερχόταν η σειρά του να φουμάρει το χασίζι, έλεγε ο Νάκος πίδα.
Okay.
I understood the hashish in there.
Yeah, Margot says that...
Δεν το κατάλαβες καλά, μου Δερβής, μόνο μιλάς. Μη μιλάς, άκου τι θα σου πει τώρα, Κωστάκης.
Criminals exist even today, also hash smokers, pot smokers. But the difference was, back in the day, the original Rebetes would never offer drugs or bad things to children.
It's important to explain that many of the old Rebetiko songs are even talking about hashish smoking. It was part of the culture.
Υπόψη σου, να σου πω...
For the old Rebetes, the pot smoking was a sacred procedure, but very personal. They wouldn't share. It was strictly for their own, and that was the difference.
Thank you very much, Mario. It's been an amazing experience to talk to Mario, one of the only remaining original Rebetiko singers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Σε στο βράδυ χάρη κλάκι είχες πιάσει το οργανάκι και γλεντούσες με ένα αλάνι κάτω στο πασαλιμάνι. Ζηλεύω και κλαίγω, άιντε χάρη κλάκι μου πως με γελάσες, αμαριά σου μου την έσκασες. Μες στην πύρα όταν βήκες, αχ μανίτσα μου τι γλύκες, με φωνόγραφο και πλάκες, ταλκαδάκι με τους μάγες. Να ζάκια φυλάκια, άιντε χάρη κλάκι μου πως με γελάσες, άιντε γεια σου μου την έσκασες. Απόψε είναι βαριά, απόψε είναι βαριά. Απόψε είναι βαριά, η δόλια μου η καρδιά. Σκοτεινά σαν τα πέρατα, ερήμο σαν οι δρόμοι. Και εμένα το κορίτσι μου δε φάνηκε. Βαριά, η δόλια μου η καρδιά.
κάνω υπομονή, να κάνω υπομονή, να κάνω υπομονή. Ποιος ξέρει αν θα ραθεί το δρόμο, μήπως έχασε και τόσο έχει αργήσει, ή μήπως με εγκατέλειψε και πια δεν θα γυρίσει. Απόψε είναι βαριά, απόψε είναι βαριά, απόψε είναι βαριά η δόλια μου η καρδιά. Άιντε τα βασάνια. Απόψε ο φτωχός, απόψε ο φτωχός, απόψε ο φτωχός, θα μείνω μοναχός. Θα γύρω το κεφάλι μου στο κρύο μαξιλάρι, λατρεία ο ύπνος θα με πάρει. Απόψε είναι βαριά, απόψε είναι βαριά η δόλια μου η καρδιά.
Ela prime, ela prime, ela prime.
That edition of World Roots was presented by Moshe Morad and the producer was James Parkin. And next week's programme is at the slightly later time of 10:15. For information on how to apply for tickets for the World Roots Academy launch 2013, just visit the World Roots page on the Radio 3 website, or you can call 03 70 901 1227. Well, on Christmas Day here on BBC Radio 3, we'll be joining the congregation in the candlelit chapel of King's College, Cambridge, for a festival of nine lessons and carols, nine Bible readings interspersed with carols old and new and sung by the world-famous chapel choir of King's College, Cambridge. That's here on Radio 3 on Christmas Day afternoon from 2 o'clock. Also this Christmas, we have a new series of Belief as Joan Bakewell meets a lineup of guests including the former US President Jimmy Carter, the actor Sir Ben Kingsley, and screenwriter Julian Fellowes. They're all in candid conversation with Joan about what they believe and why. And the series starts tomorrow.
Lord Dannatt was chief of the General Staff during critical years in the Afghanistan War. He made headlines by speaking out when he felt British troops lacked proper equipment. He was also concerned for their spiritual welfare.
I felt it was important that those being prepared for operations in Iraq and Afghanistan would be confronted by issues of life and death and needed to have something which they could hold on to. Even if that something was just having been present at a regimental service before they deployed and had heard a few hymns sung rather badly and the chaplain say a few prayers.
Join me, Joan Bakewell, to hear Richard Dannatt talk about Belief this Christmas Eve at 9:25 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 11 o'clock, time now for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello and welcome everyone to our annual Christmas festive roundtable where we're talking and listening to all things jazz. Around the highly decorated table this year is jazz legend and national treasure, Bobby Wellens. Welcome.
Thank you.
BBC Radio 3 new generation jazz artist, Trish Clues. Hello, Trish.
Thank you. Hello.
And the new director of NYJO, the National Youth Jazz Orchestra, Mark Armstrong. Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me.
And in session for us, the Ewan Stevenson Trio. Hello, Ewan.
Hi, Claire.
One man down today. What's happened to Conrad?
Yeah, we should be a quartet with Conrad Wisniewski. Unfortunately, can't be here due to a minor accident. He's cut his finger quite badly.
Okay.
So he can't make it today.
Well, we wish him well, and your trio's here. So we're looking forward for the next 90 minutes. So we're going to put the jazz world to rights while I attack the first gluten-free mince pie that Trish has brought in. And Ewan, to get us all in the mood, what's your first tune?
We're going to play a tune arranged by Vince Guaraldi. It's called Christmas Time Is Here.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Christmas Time is here, played by Ewan Stevenson on piano, Ewan Burton on bass, and Alan Koska on drums. Lovely way to start the programme. I can't believe this year has flown by, so I say to all my guests today, Bobby, for you, how has 2012 been for you?
It's been quite good to me, actually, with the various people I've been working with. Most of them younger, well, what I call, they don't call themselves the younger element now, because there's even younger coming in. But yeah, it's been
glanced
really
quite
nice.
Glaringly at you there.
Yes, I did. Didn't he?
Much yeah. I am as well, so yeah, you're in for it today. But you've had a good year, prosperous, healthy.
From my point of view, yes. Not good. Not particularly prosperous, not over prosperous, but nevertheless fun. Lots of fun.
Good. Trish?
Yeah, it's been a very fun year. That's a good word to use, I think. Lots of new things, exciting, lots to do. It's good.
But it's flown. Mark, just a minute ago, it was Valentine's night. Now here we are.
I know. And actually, it was my daughter's birthday as well, Valentine's night. So
it feels like yesterday.
Absolutely. But yeah, since then, for me, I've had some amazing things happening. I mean, particularly with Nigel.
Yes.
I mean, we made this album, which was lots of fun. But the real great standout thing, I guess, for me was conducting the prom in the summer, which was just brilliant.
I didn't know you did that. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Yeah,
nerve-wracking.
Much, very, very nerve-wracking. It's one of those things that you don't really get so scared anymore when you've done something like that. And
yes.
it was a great experience.
A bit like women and childbirth and pain afterwards.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. And I've seen that on my wife's face three times now, so I don't know what it's like, but I can well imagine.
Well, it sounds like we've all done all right this year. Let's talk about things that have changed from a musician's point of view. Just first thing I was going to talk about is, you know, sort of social networking, online revolution that's happening for all of us. We've all got to be very socially aware of. And CDs seem to be a thing of the past. The download situation taking over. How do you feel about that, Bobby?
I think it's a shame.
You do?
Well, I do, partly because, I mean, with another hat on, one of the things that I do is I do some sort of jazz history lecturing at the RCM, and I've noticed that some of the great writing about jazz is actually in sleeve notes. Mm. A lot of the writing that you see in books is kind of a sort of hagiography. You know, it's like, yeah, and when Bird walked into this club, and, you know, it was that kind of stuff, which doesn't tell you about the music. And when you read things by people like Oren Keepnews, you know, they're really amazing, proper little kind of critical essays about what it actually sounds like. Mm. And when you download, you don't get that. At least I can't get it. I don't know, remembering
who's on it as well. You know, when you bought a CD, well, when I was a teenager, you knew exactly who was on everything. Mm. But, you know, the minute you start, you know, you forget because you don't see their name written down.
No,
it's not easy to find the information.
I'm not involved in any of that. I don't have any IT.
You don't?
It's time I got some together, I think.
I think you might have to ask Father Christmas for a little iPad. An iPad 5 for you, Bobby Williams. But, you know, we sell CDs on gigs. It's a bit of extra money, isn't it? I mean, it's very handy. Yeah. People like meeting the artists, getting this signed.
Implying then that there are no royalties in downloading.
Well, there are, and sometimes it's better for the artist, so it can work for us.
I suppose the other thing is that people used to put albums together as a story, you know, and you don't get that so much if you just download an individual track.
Yeah.
And I think that the concept, I mean, I suppose that's changed with a CD that used to have an LP and it was a story with two halves,
that's
wasn't
right.
it? You had to stop and turn it over.
Yeah.
And now with a CD, I guess, you know, the idea is, I mean, you try and, at least I would imagine the idea is to try and program something that runs like a concert, whereas if you're doing individual track downloads, it's quite easy to shuffle them up in your iPad, in your iPod. And the other thing is that business of if there's a load of segues that don't work digitally, which is really irritating when you're trying to listen to something beautiful and it kind of goes and stops for about 2 seconds and it didn't on the CD. So I think there's some way to go before that format, at least in my opinion anyway, is something that really appeals to someone who really loves music. I mean, it's great for sort of tinkly
music lover
background
thing, isn't
stuff.
It? In the same way that LPs are still cherished by true music lovers. So I'm not sure they'll go away. But
well, mainly also because the covers were cherished as well.
Yeah.
Because the guy, the American guy who did all the Blue Note stuff, I don't personally suffer from that.
You must have email, Bobby. I mean, you must.
No, I don't have email.
You don't have email.
No, it's terrible, isn't it?
I'm sorry to snigger. That's terrible. Laughing at you.
You've always laughed at me, Claire Martin.
Lovingly. Well, Ewan, I think it's time we stop me teasing Bobby endlessly and tell us about the next piece of music you're going to play for us now.
This next one, it was written quite a long time ago now, about 10 years ago, and it's called Chit Chat. And it's based on the rhythm changes form. but it's in different time signatures, so it's designed to trick us. We'll try not to be tricked today.
Okay. Fantastic. That was Chit Chat, played and written by Ewan Stevenson on piano, Ewan Burton playing bass, and Alan Koska on the drums. Well, do we think, I mean, I'm very inspired by these three young guys playing this music. Is jazz safe in the hands of the new generation, Mark?
Oh, I hope so. I think so. The thing I've noticed with some of the people who coming through Nigel is there's such a sort of massive diversity of what people are into, and they've got this amazing respect for the tradition of the music.
Yeah,
but they're really trying to do new things as well, and also people are getting more entrepreneurial. I guess, you know, going back to this idea of downloads and sort of maybe one of the positive sides of that is people take charge of the music in a way that this never really happened to jazz artists as much as it did to pop people, I guess, but you know, you don't sort of throw yourself on the mercy of a label and let them kind of run your career, you know. But even less so now, people put their own records out, you know, they distribute them themselves, you know, they make their own work, and you know, people are doing this and kind of proving that contemporary and not uncompromising, but jazz, which is designed to be artistic, they're going out and trying to sell that. And I think that's really admirable, you know.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
To do that at an age when you've got time to devote to it as well.
And also to have the sort of business acumen to do it. I mean, it used to be just sort of, if you could just get on the phone and hustle a gig, and it's completely different now, isn't it? Just
absolutely.
Having to do the social networking. I mean, people flock to see you, and rightly so, Bobby Williams, but how do you... You don't tweet about your gigs then, I guess. Do you Twitter?
Well, only at home.
I mean, as I said in the introduction, you're extremely well known and highly respected. So you've got a name, but creating that name, you need to get the
momentum
going. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I'm only fortunate because of the street cred, really. Outside of that, I suppose I wouldn't work all that much like most of the younger guys who are attempting to get some kind of cred in their playing. And there are many of them, and
yes,
women in the jazz business now, which is wonderful to see, of course.
Absolutely.
And wonderful to hear. I mean, the days of waiting on the telephone to ring stopped 30 years ago.
Trish, what about you? Are you a good businesswoman? Are you a good organiser? Are you good at all that other stuff, I call it?
I think you wouldn't necessarily realise if you saw my office, but I think up in my head, I'm quite organised. I don't think I'm naturally very businessy, but I think you kind of have to learn as you go. I think if you know, for me, I really wanted to write and play my own music, and you just sort of have to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
Yeah,
so
sure.
As you go. And
what about sort of the new sort of jazz boundary pushing trios like, not necessarily just trios, but bands like Trio VD and the Bad Plus and perhaps Portico Quartet? How do you feel about these sort of boundary pushing sort of experimental trios that are really challenging sort of perhaps traditional ears?
I think that if we can find some way of pulling a wider audience into effectively sort of instrumental artistic performance that isn't classical music.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've got any problem with what it's called. You know, it's kind of good music. It's like that Ellington, the typical Ellington thing, you know, there are two kinds of music. There's good music and the other kind, you know. And I just think as long as it's great and it's played with conviction,
yeah,
it kind of doesn't matter if the people are old or young or whatever. I mean, what does matter is that we do want to have a wider audience for this music. And if there are, you know, younger people playing stuff which maybe refers to pop music. I mean, after all, jazz has always done that, hasn't it? I mean, it did. That's what standards were all about in the 20s
right.
And the 30s and
the
40s. And even
absolutely.
Bebop, you know, I mean, I guess you could say that one of the reasons why bebop is the way it is because it's trying to get people to swallow a load of kind of modern improvisation by basing it on an old standard.
Yes.
It's kind of convincing maybe a sceptical audience and pulling them along.
Yes.
And the thing is that now, I guess, if you go to what might be regarded as a sort of regular jazz gig to an audience that wants to listen to, I suppose, kind of reasonably mainstream music, effectively what they want to listen to is bebop. And that audience back in the 1950s maybe would have been saying, oh, God, this is a bit avant-garde. I'm not sure I like this very much. I want to go out and listen to Louis Armstrong.
Yes.
Let me ask you, what's the average age of someone in Niger now? And do they all do, because often when I've talked and interviewed younger musicians, they always say, as I say actually, mum and dad love jazz, influenced by my dad's record collection. Are they getting into jazz simply through knowing someone that's introduced them to it? I mean,
it's a bit, yeah, I think you do get people who are, we have this kind of joke about some of the guys who come through, and they all seem to be fellas as well.
That's
they all
a shame.
Seem to be, well, I mean, of this kind of ilk of person.
No,
not everyone
yeah,
in the
okay.
band.
That's okay.
No. Not all, no, definitely not. That's not the way we're going at all. But some of the fellas who come through, they do seem to be a little, shall we say, autistic in their sort of view of music and what they listen to and where they got it from. And it's got to be like this and no other way, you know. Mm. And that's, I suppose there are people like that who, you know, they just kind of emerge. I think you get a wide mixture of people. Some people are into, you know, say, traditional big band music. And maybe that's maybe as much to do with what they did when they were a kid when they started playing as much as to do with records they listened to. I mean, maybe joining like a local youth band and just enjoying playing with friends and playing exciting music.
Well, I'd like to play a track now. I'm really thrilled to play this artist because Jim Mullen, the great guitarist, introduced me to this wonderful talent that is Shirley Horn. I know Bobby and I absolutely love her.
Yes.
Washington-based singer-pianist Miles Davis's favourite, of course, my favourite. And here she is just doing her magic on Winter Wonderland.
listening in the lane. Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay. Love song as we go along, walking in the winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no man, but you can do the job when you're in town. Later on we'll conspire as we dream fire, to face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. Pretend that he's a circus clown. We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman until the other kiddies knock him down. When it snows, ain't it thrilling? Though your nose gets a chilling, we'll frolic and play the Eskimo way. Walking in a winter wonderland, walking in a winter wonderland, walking in a winter wonderland.
Oh, my absolute favourite, Shirley Horn with Winter Wonderland from the Jazz Plays Christmas CD. And this is the Jazz Lineup Christmas Roundtable with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3 with Bobby Wellings, Trish Clues, Mark Armstrong, the new director of the National Youth Jazz Orchestra, and the Ewan Stevenson Trio. So, Mark, it must have been quite a daunting task taking over from Bill Ashton, who founded Nigeo in 1965, before any of us were born.
Yeah.
Big shoes to fill.
Definitely.
Daunting?
Well, it was daunting, and also because I remember being daunted as a kid in the band by, you know, everyone in the band and Bill. And so there was that side to it as well, you know. And then there was also trying to find a way of keeping the tradition of what the band does going, but also try and move the music on artistically and bring some new, you know, ideas into what we're trying to do, and maybe be slightly more sort of connected to and reflective of the wider jazz scene.
Very good. So, Trish, was this something that you auditioned for, Nigeo? Was that ever on cards?
Yeah, I never actually went to Nigeo when I was in London, but that was probably a lot to do with the fact that the course, the that I was studying on was just kind of really great, and I was quite involved with that. But Nigel did visit when I was growing up in Shrewsbury. They did visit a couple of times, and they had a workshop on one occasion. And I remember Josephine Davies, who's a really great saxophone player, and she was there. And I went and sat next to her, and I remember that very clearly. Aww. So, yeah.
You're from the Northeast. There's a real vibrant music and drama scene up there, wasn't there? I mean, how did you get this gig? Were there many people that were after this position?
Well, yeah. I mean, the way it worked out was that I ended up sort of being a kind of transitional MD when Bill sort of stepped back for a couple of years while we were trying to sort things out. And then it became obvious that even though it was kind of a bit of an uncomfortable situation for me, that it would be... we'd need to formalise who was going to actually be running the band, and it would be a bit of a shoo-in if I just kind of kept doing it without there being some kind of audition process. So there was, you know, I had to do an interview, and I had to take a rehearsal. There was a panel of the great and the good watching what I was doing, and I'm just really pleased to say that I got the job.
Good.
I got my job.
Congratulations. You got your job.
Back.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall listening to the comments as you were doing your audition.
Yeah.
Were there many pipe smokers there?
There were a bit of chin scratching.
No, yes.
Yes, bit of, thank you, Mr. Armstrong. We'll be in touch.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, no, they were all very nice to me, actually. It was, it was a bit weird, but, you know, I'm delighted.
You're
now.
In now, proper.
Yeah. We're in now, proper. That's right.
Good.
It's official. Yeah.
So tell us about the new CD. I can see it there. It's looking,
yeah,
I like
absolutely.
The artwork there, the change.
Well, you know, despite what we were saying before, you know, we are forging ahead with the idea of selling a physical copy of the CD.
Yeah.
We've gone for a bit of a kind of prestige 1958 vibe to the cover.
Yeah, I love it.
A little bit of kind of a green, at least it looks green. I'm a bit colourblind, so
it's
green.
It is green.
Okay. And we're trying to reflect the mixture of music that makes up the band right now, which is that we like doing some really original compositions, and we commissioned a couple of pieces from Tim Garland, and both of those are on this album. One of which is the one we played at the prom, that was commissioned by the BBC, I should say, actually. And another one we commissioned from Tim a couple of years ago to celebrate the 45th anniversary of the band. There's some arrangements of standards, a couple by me.
Move on to that, because we're going to play... I think we're going to do your arrangement of Lady Be Good.
Oh, great. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So a piece by Julian Joseph, a couple of songs. One of them is some lyrics by Bill. And so what I've been trying to do artistically with the band is keep the best part of the tradition. So we've got this extraordinary back catalogue of music, which we want to keep the best of that going.
Great.
We want to commission new writers to write really cutting edge stuff for us. We want to continue with asking people in the band to write stuff for us. We want to keep playing some standards, and we want to mix things up. So, you know, we're talking about an audience, let's try and get people who like traditional in the pocket jazz in, and then feed them a little bit of contemporary stuff. And it's one of the pieces on this, the title track The Change, is by Chris Whiter, who's the baritone player in the band at the moment. And you know, it's a really contemporary piece. It's got lots of different grooves in it, it's got some free blowing in it, it's got all sorts of bits and pieces, and it always gets a massive cheer from the audience.
Great. That's
which
good.
Is a really, really good sign.
How about vocalists? How many vocalists?
Well, we've got Emma Smith on this, who's an amazing talent.
She's
singing an arrangement I did of Feeling Good. And she's also singing a Steve Gray song with some lyrics by Bill called Summer Sundays.
She's terrific, Emma. What a great, great singer. She's a lovely girl. Well, let's hear your arrangement of Lady Be Good, taken from the new CD from Nigel, and it's called The Change. Here it is.